Morning, birds. How's everyone? You sound great. Birds, I want everyone to know, you know, that we crave everyone's input. So we do have a, that's right, we crave your input as well. We have a toll-free number, 844-220-3300. All right? So if you or any of your bird friends, maybe you can, you know, operate a device with your beak. I don't know, but it's 844-220-3300. And, in fact, let's, all right, well, here we make a note because the calls are flooding in. Here we go.
Well, I'm sorry, okay?
Hello?
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 I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Call anytime.
Sunrise, sunrise, looks like morning in your eyes, but the clock's held 9:15 for hours. Sunrise, sunrise, couldn't tempt us if it tried, 'cause the afternoon's already coming gone. And I said, who? Something I could hide when I see we made it through another day. Then I say, who?
Jones, that time at 4 after the hour, and good morning, welcome. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright. It's the 28th of the month of April, a Wednesday, and I have some pretty good news. As probably you heard, if you have been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. According to the CDC yesterday, people who are fully vaccinated, people who are fully vaccinated against COVID, can go maskless outdoors, except in crowds, and you don't want to do that indoors. That's according to the CDC. More than half of eligible Americans have received at least one shot, but the pace of inoculations is slowing. So anyway, you can go out. You know, it's ironic. I just realized, remember when Trump said that, you know, the breeze would blow it away and the sunlight would kill it? And that apparently is, that part of it turned out right anyway. President Biden is going to give his first address to Congress tonight. That is coming up. We'll talk a little bit about that. The FBI opened a civil rights investigation into the death last week of Andrew Brown Jr. An autopsy showed that the North Carolina deputies shot the 42-year-old black man five times, including once in the head. So they're going to be investigating that. So in Washington, Joe Biden detailing a $1.8 trillion plan for workers and students and families. It's called the American Families Plan. It's going to expand access to education and child care. It's going to be financed partly with higher taxes on the wealthiest Americans. Administration officials said the plan was a way to foster an inclusive economy that would help millions of Americans join the middle class. I want to go off on, if we were going to do economics for five-year-olds, I would say that. That's it. We need to have a more inclusive, a bigger middle class, fewer people on the bottom tier, and probably fewer fat cats up at the top. So anyway, that is going to be dealt out. A sparse audience in a lockdown capital probably will be watching that, and you'll see it on, you know, you'll be able to stream it. Tim Scott, who's the Senate's only black Republican, is going to deliver the GOP rebuttal to President Biden. That's a spin here. Over in India, just a bad sequence over there. India's toll from the coronavirus surge past 200,000 today, the country's deadliest day. Shortages of oxygen and medical supplies, hospital staff compounded a record number of new infections. The second wave of infections has seen at least 300,000 people test positive each day for the past week. They have been overwhelmed over there. Their system is functionally broken, and we're trying to help them out. This is excellent news here. The United States has announced $310 million in humanitarian aid to Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras. Countries targeted by the outgoing administration. Vice President Kamala Harris, in a virtual meeting with Guatemalan President Alejandro Giammattei on Monday, I think I got that right, announced an additional $310 million in U.S. government support for humanitarian relief and to address food insecurity in Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras. The two leaders agreed to open migrant resource centers in Guatemala to provide services for people seeking lawful pathways of migration, as well as those in need of protection and asylum referrals and refugee resettlement, according to the White House. Can you get back to "Give me your tired, you're poor"? It's on the statue. It's 8 past the hour. This is a story. If you haven't had it come your way, you undoubtedly will. Let me read. This is Melissa Quinn writing for CBS News here. A salty Snapchat posted by a Pennsylvania high school cheerleader has served as a springboard for a legal battle set to play out before the Supreme Court today. Justices are going to weigh whether schools can punish students for speech that occurs off campus. You with me? All right. This is a pretty big deal. The dispute goes back to 2017 after Miss Levy, who is a 14-year-old rising sophomore in the Mahanoy Area School District, learns that she didn't make her school's varsity cheerleading team for the second straight season. I'm like, in an act of frustration, on a Saturday, Levy posted a self-deleting photo. If you don't know what Snapchat goes away. Anyway, so she posts a Snapchat photo of her and a friend raising their middle fingers with the kid. This is a 14-year-old sophomore. Can you not imagine this? Raising their middle fingers with a caption, F school, F softball, F cheerleading, F everything. And in a second message, Levy wrote, love how me and another student got told we need a year of JV before we make varsity. But that doesn't happen. Doesn't matter to anyone else. So, all right, again, all this stuff disappears after 24 hours. Ah, not so fast. I'm sure that they were eager to call attention. Somebody showed the image to one of the cheerleading coaches. Oh, and then the coaches decided that Levy had violated team and school rules governing student conduct, and she was removed from the cheerleading team for her sophomore year as punishment. And what they? All right. I know. It is like high school. Levy's parents appealed to the athletic director, the principal, the district superintendent, and the school board to reconsider the punishment, all of whom sided with the coaches. Big surprise there. They filed a federal lawsuit arguing the discipline for off-campus speech violated their daughter's First Amendment rights. A federal district court in Pennsylvania sided with Levy, ordered her to be reinstated to the team. The third district court, third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed, and that's where we are. So they ruled that, I know we're, it's Perry Mason now, they ruled that a decision known as Tinker versus Des Moines does not apply to off-campus speech. I remember that. That was from 1969 when I was in high school. And what had happened there was a bunch of kids were wearing black armbands off campus to protest the Vietnam War. And the high court said the students do not shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. So anyway, yeah, not exactly the same as getting kicked off the volleyball team. The cheerleading team. What about it? You ever thought about this? Leave me a voicemail if you want to. We'll have some conversation if you want. It's 844-220-3300. In fact, you know what? I'm going to pause. And I'm going to take a break here. If you want to call me live, if God only knows where you are, it's 12 after the hour. You call me live right now. It's 773-907-0724. All right? I'll take a quick live phone call. What number? 773-907-0724. All right, if you got something quick, call me live or leave me a voicemail on the other one. And while you're doing that, here's Farmer Brown and Harry.
On the farm, we grow a food that's everything you need to eat. It's a fruit, a veg, a bread, a milk, a cheese, a bean, a meat. Hi, I'm Farmer Brown.
And I'm Harry Hound.
Singing about the foods you need to keep you healthy.
I love being healthy.
Today, the protein foods, they help you grow.
I love to grow.
Like meat.
I love meat.
Fish.
I love fish.
Baked beans, eggs, and peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
For variety and vitamins and feeling rooty toot. Eat a veg, a bread, a milk, a cheese, a bean, a meat, a fruit. Eat a variety every day.
I love you, Farmer Brown.
Ah, I love this stuff. 13 after the hour. The other thing that I saw in the news, and this is it's a couple of days old, but I got to say that it, let me reach over and I'm fully prepared. This ticked me off. Now, they've resolved this, all right? And I hasten to add, because if you hear me reading this and you think they haven't resolved it, you may well erupt. Anyway, this is Marie Devereaux writing the Chicago Sun-Times this week. The girl's name is Morgan Urso. She tried many sports as a young child, didn't like any of them. She finally got into hockey when she was about 10, and she ended up loving the game. She's a high school sophomore, and her zeal for the game took a hit when her club hockey team unexpectedly banned her. Why? Well, what happened was she got depressed in her freshman year. I had it in spades when I was in high school. I still got it. Anyway, so like a lot of kids, she had some depression. Oh, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. She made the mistake of admitting that to one of her coaches. And the coach said, bah, 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 bah. And they finally decided that she was going to get barred from all Team Illinois practices, games, and other activities. So she says, I remember saying, what? What? Other parents on the team told her that a coach had told them their kids should not communicate with Morgan till she was able to provide a doctor's note clearing her to participate in team activities. Anyway, I'll leave it there. This is awful. It really is. They punished this poor kid. Anyway, it has gone her way. She missed a month of ice time. I was allowed to finish the season after the Ursos hired a lawyer. Come on, really? Really? Got to hire a lawyer? She said that she was super uncomfortable being around her coach. Was constantly felt nervous back on the team. Anyway, on April 20th, Morgan and her parents filed a lawsuit in DuPage County against Team Illinois Hockey and the AHAI for discriminating against her on the basis of disability. Hear, hear. Hear, hear. We're not allowed to banish people who are depressed or anxious or have suicidal thoughts, said the attorney. That's not okay. The Amateur Hockey Association of Illinois and its lawyer declined to comment on the lawsuit. If we had everyone, I'll really go off here, if everyone that has depression as a teenager admitted it and was punished for it, you're done. You're done. Close the doors. Everybody stays home. Morgan, who's a center, returned to the ice with a former hockey team. This year, Morgan plans to try out for the St. Louis Blues. I think I'm reading here, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Blues. Anyway, she's also started working with the, this is hashtag same here, Global Mental Health Movement, which aims to raise awareness about and provide resources for dealing with mental illness. Informing Team Morgan, the Urso family raised and donated more than $50,000 to hashtag same here for mental health treatment. All right, there you go. What were they thinking? 17 after the hour. In other news, wait a minute. Is this the day? This is the day. This is the day, way back when Muhammad Ali refused induction into the army. And they punished him by taking away his boxing title. You remember that?
And the big fight is coming up. Ali and Frazier, Muhammad Ali. I call him Muhammad Ali because that's what he wants. Oh, yeah, he's a big dude and he hits hard, you know. I'll call him what he wants. But it's good that he's being allowed to work again. As you know, he couldn't work for 3 years. Of course, he had a strange job beating people up. But that was his, you know, his right. He could have that job. Government wanted him to change jobs. Government wanted him to kill people. He thought it over and he said, no, that's where I draw the line. I'll beat him up and I don't want to kill him. And the government told him, well, if you won't kill him, we won't let you beat him up. And it was all because he didn't want to go to Vietnam. Thank you.
Maytals. It's 22 after the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright. It's Aaron Mitten standing by. Aaron, the news baron. And I believe we're going to talk today about, you know, you and me and everybody. Everyday people. Everyday people who still can't vote.
Sometimes I'm right.
That's the thing, though. The everyday people are not getting to vote so much, and it's getting worse. Aaron, good morning. You and I are kind of everyday people, right?
Yeah, I think so. I would like to think so.
Yeah. So, too bad for you, because you need to have a little something extra to exercise your right to vote here in America. And it got worse in the last couple of days, I think, a little bit. The census came out, and I don't have this in front of me. I think Illinois lost one seat.
Yes.
Texas gained a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's another chance for Beto O'Rourke to, no, probably unlikely down there. But anyway, the shift by and large is from, and this is nothing new. The shift is from the North or the Midwest to the South. So what about all that?
Yes. Yeah, so exactly right. Texas gained two seats. Illinois gained one. The census overall, they tallied our new national a population at 331,449,000, 7.4% increase. And yet the South grew the fastest and the Midwest grew the slowest. This is, as you said yesterday, the slowest growth, second slowest growth in history, in decades, in many, many decades. So some states that gained House seats were Texas gaining two, then the rest gaining one, Colorado, Florida, Montana, North Carolina, and Oregon. Losing seats were California, Michigan, New York, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia.
Overall,
we didn't lose as many as we could have. So that's good.
Except for West Virginia. Those are all blue states, though, right? Pretty much.
Yes. Yeah. Blue or, teetering.
Or I'm sorry, what? Teal?
Or teetering, in between,
Oh, I thought you had a new color there. The teal.
Or purple. They call them purple states these days.
Well, all right. So that's a legitimate something, a measure of people not having the babies that you used to. When I was talking to the guy yesterday, when I was a kid, Aaron, the famous figure was that the average family was 2.2 people.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But now it's like 1.9. And then you have people continuing to flee the North. Not sure why that is. I guess for the Sun Belt, you think?
I think it has to do a lot with finances, taxes.
Yeah.
A lot of, there's a mass exodus out of California. They actually should have grown by a hell of a lot more than they did.
Yeah.
But a lot of those people are moving to Texas and Nevada and Arizona. So, and Arizona was suspected to gain a seat, but they didn't. So, yeah, a lot of it has to do with that.
Yeah. Down in Georgia and some other areas, they're now tinkering, as everyone knows, with the voting. And I saw the thing this morning. There's a pregnant woman who voted at a drive-through voting thing. What's the problem with that? Under the COVID, right? She, you know.
Yes.
And they're apparently, in retrospect, thought that she should have gotten out of her car, exposed herself and her child, and, you know, so. Anyway, don't get me started.
Yeah, that's...
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, that's the second part to this. This is for the state congressional seats, then going to the Electoral College. The same pluses and minuses that we talked about are going to be identical in the Electoral College. So now you have Joe Biden, who clearly won the popular vote by millions and millions, but it was still questionable whether or not he won the presidency. Now that'll be even worse because the Electoral College is going to be even more de-aligned with the popular vote. And yet in Georgia, part of that bill that they passed was it was illegal to pass out water and food to people waiting in lines. So there's a lot wrong with that bill and bills coming up in other states.
Let's go overseas, could we?
I want to go to Cairo just for a year, see how it is.
Well, wait, can we stop in China? This guy from, what's the story here? This guy from, this Russian was kidnapped on Chinese reality shows or something. I don't know what he was. What's the story on that? He's free now.
This is hilarious. So there was this Russian guy, Vladislav Ivanov, 27-year translator, working on this Chinese game show called Produce Camp 2021. Where it's like a competition game show where at the end there are 11 contestants that end up being part of this boy band that perform shows across the world and whatnot. Producers notice his quote good looks and asked him to sign up for the competition as he was just being a translator. And then they sequestered him to his dorm. They took away all the contestants' phones.
Oh, he thought
it was just going to be a cool little thing, but then he got stuck there for 3 months and he became a finalist.
And it was called Produce Camp 21?
Yes, Produce Camp 2021.
Wow. He's out now.
And the funny thing is, he was kept there not just by the producers, but by the fans. Because he was like the producers to have, so much control. It's fan driven, so the fans vote. And he would say things like, quote, in his songs, please don't make me go to the finals. I'm tired. And I hope the judges won't support me, the judges being the fans. While the others want to get an A, I want to get an F, as it stands for freedom. So he made it to the finals because they saw this guy, struggling. They're like, this seems interesting. This is making the show fun. So
when Survivor goes wrong.
exactly.
Have a good day today and stay off TV if you can.
All right, will do.
All right. Thursday, call up. I just can't handle it. Thursday, call up. I just get right to it. I ain't ready. Rachel, they call up.
Gotta be cool, relax, get hit, and get on my tracks. Take a backseat, a hitchhike. Take a long ride, I'm a motorbike until I'm ready.
Ready, Freddy,
raise your little thing all alone. I just can't handle it. Although I must get right to it, I am ready.
Ooh, raise a little thing called love.
Raise a little thing called love.
Yeah, yeah.
Raise a little thing called love.
Yeah, yeah.
I need more of it. It's 31 past the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. You know, I sent a tweet out this morning that said if it's true of you that the only exercise you got in the last year was lifting bags of junk food, then join us this morning as we're going to try to get back on track. And that's the agenda here. We are joined by the diet doc, Dr. Joe Klemshevsky. I think I have that right. Dr. Joe, good morning.
Yes, sir. Great. How are you?
Very well. And you told me you're over in Indiana, not too far from where we are.
Yeah, just a little bit south of you guys.
So the diet doc, boy, diet's a bad word to have in your thing, no?
You know, every once in a while somebody says that, but in terms of just clarity and knowing what you're getting into, I am a health scientist and a nutrition coach, and so I want people to know that that's what we do.
I'm stating the obvious and saying that people have slipped in the last year, I think, not eating as well. I know alcohol, everything's up, right? What about that? Have you? I assume you have clients. Have you had them freaking out or coming to you and saying, I can't put down the Cheetos, it's too much stress?
Well, you know, it has been in large, collectively heading in that direction. And I think because so many people having to stay home and maybe that environment was a little bit of a shock to them where no longer are they at work with the carrot always dangling in front of them or the stick behind them, they can get up and walk into the kitchen anytime they want. And I think that's just been a little bit of an odd culture shock to people. And it shows that environmental engineering and you know, all these other ancillary factors come into play, not just your willpower or your nutrition knowledge.
I'm guessing that now that, and I probably are going to be one of these people that's going to try to, you know, do a little bit of a fad diet or something quick, you know, that's not a good idea, fad dieting.
Well, so 95% of people regain all of their weight loss within a couple years, and at the end of 5 years, anybody in our country who attempts to lose weight ends up weighing 107% of their original. So
jeez,
clearly we're doing something wrong on the sustainability side. I think it's quite easy for people to, you know, get a couple weeks under their belt and lose a little bit and feel some momentum. But to really play that out and do it to your physiological advantage for sustainability, that takes a little extra work.
The operative word is metabolism, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, genetically, we're all dealt a different set of cards, and it is a continuum. So think of 100%. Somebody's got to be absolutely the worst metabolically on the planet, and somebody's got to be the best, and we all fall on that continuum somewhere. So understanding what your metabolic capacity is, and a lot of that plays into a hormone base. Thyroid hormone is key for that, as well as activity-based ones like epinephrine, norepinephrine, but the main thing that you can do yourself, Gary, is move. I mean, the number one impact we can have on our metabolism is just exercise and movement consistently over time.
Move. I thought you meant like to another country. No, I'm with. I listen. In full disclosure, before we had this weird pandemic, I used to swim a few times a week, and I swam in Lake Michigan here. Then I had a deal at a gym with a pool, and all that came to a conclusion. It's harder to move around now. I've gotten out of shape in a year. I'm creaking, and you know, I'm sure that there are other people in that category. You yourself, you must exercise quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm in my early 50s now, and I started working out when I was 11 or 12 years old, and to be honest, I just haven't stopped. I mean, of course, for a vacation here or there, or an injury, you're working around something, but it's a principle of value that just comes easy to me because I'm kind of a hyper person, and I love to work out. I love to move, and even if it's just, you know, walking fast down a sidewalk, I'm just somebody who likes to stay in motion. But I do realize that's not everybody, and so I have tremendous respect for people who say, well, it's not my favorite thing, but I'm going to do it because the rest of life is more sedentary than ever, and for my health, for my energy levels, and how I feel, I just have to do it, and that's critical.
This is the Diet Doc, Dr. Joe Klemczewski or Klemczewski. In either case, you can reach him at thedietdoc.com, thedietdoc.com. He's the president and founder of the Diet Doc. Let's ruin everybody's day. Now, let's motivate people. Tell me your morning. Tell me your meals. Tell me your exercise. And you sound like you're a healthy guy. Lead us through that.
Well, that's a really great question, and I'm glad you're throwing in some practical application here. I learned years ago that instead of just waking up and shoving food down my throat because I have to check it off the list and run to the office, I was going to listen more to my you know, intuitive hunger cues. And this was a little bit before the intermittent fasting craze came along, but, you know, instead of eating at 5 or 6 in the morning, I could get to work and, you know, wait a couple hours, and then when I'm hungry around 9 or so, I can have some oatmeal and a scoop of protein powder in that, or I may make a small egg white omelet with a slice or two of a whole grain toast. But it's pretty basic, and I would consider that kind of small. As a breakfast, but I feel better doing that. And then in my office environment, I like to have the food I need here. I'm not somebody who will, you know, run out to a restaurant or a drive-thru every day. So I'll make a bagel sandwich with some, you know, lean protein, some turkey breast or chicken breast. May have a handful of pretzels or baked chips with that. Sometimes it could even be just a salad or something, but again, I like to kind of stay light on my feet when I'm at work. And then in the afternoon is when I particularly like to do my training, and so I may do a little pre-workout energy snacks, like a granola bar or something, just to give me a boost into that training session.
I'm stopping you, really. You eat right before you exercise?
Yeah, about 15 to 30 minutes.
Okay, but a granola bar, it's not like you're having a pizza, right?
Yeah, and yeah, something just to give you that initial little bump in blood sugar to move into the workout. And my workouts are, you know, a kind of a mix between cardiovascular work. I'll spend 20 to 30 minutes doing, you know, an arc trainer by treadmill combination, something to warm up and you know, actually do some physical cardio. I'll jog a little bit. Then I'll do a kind of a traditional weightlifting session, or it may include some cross training and strength training.
Do you lift free weights or use the machines?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Yeah, I have just, you know, whatever you need at your disposal, it's there, so you can always do anything. You know, the same kind of movement patterns either direction. But then I end with a protein shake. I'll usually throw some frozen fruit and protein powder in a blender and have a little shake, and then a couple hours later, I'm home, and we'll just have a normal dinner, whatever my wife is making, and that's kind of my day.
You know, I see protein powder, and I don't know, that always seems artificial to me, but apparently it's not a bad thing. What is that made from?
Well, there are so many good ones, and I want to say you definitely get what you pay for. You can get very, very cheap things that are made overseas and that have had contamination issues with our FDA in the past, but
yeah.
I use one particularly that's, you know, all American made products from bovine, you know, steer products like casein and whey protein,
yeah.
You know, grass fed, no antibiotics, no hormones. Those things are available.
Yeah.
You also have even vegetarian sources now, like rice protein and vegetable type protein, pea protein especially, that are very complete and taste great. So they can actually be incredibly healthy, Gary, and just add a very low-fat, healthy, clean version of just more protein for your immunity and lean body mass.
You know, I was a vegetarian for about 20 minutes, when I lived in California many years ago. And that's not the same as vegan by any means. But anyway, it's just really hard, I think, to, well, right there, you protein, most of us get protein from meat, not vegetables. But as I heard you talking about, you're having your baked chips, for example, right? You and I would compromise, or I would have to come your way. Maybe not the Lay's, you know, not the cheese popcorn, but maybe go to the baked chip. Is that part of what needs to happen? It's a small step from me to you.
Oh, it could be even easier than that. So way back in the late 90s, I developed a concept that I did not know would necessarily become normalized or a named diet, but I created something known today as flexible dieting, which is tracking your macronutrients. If you ever heard somebody say, oh, I use MyFitnessPal or I use this app, and they're punching in their food, it's giving a numerical metric. So it's not just calories, it's your ratio of protein, carbs, and fat, which we need for, you know, different reasons and different qualities. And so if you have the right energy balance, the right amount of calories, the right distribution across your meals of those macronutrients, you truly do have the flexibility to eat what you want. And so you might say, hey, I want regular potato chips there, and that has 10 or 12 grams of fat. Well, maybe at another meal you could reduce your fat just a little bit, and therefore your overall plan is still completely consistent and executable, but you're making decisions day to day as long as you can just look at the math, you know, which is the universal language of nutrition.
Yeah. What was the phrase you used? Macronutrient? Was that it?
Yeah, macronutrients, or macros, as people like to call them now.
Run that by me. What exactly is that?
So calories are made up of protein, carbohydrates, and fats. And protein, of course, are where we get our amino acids for cell building, structural type things. Immunity, of course, everybody thinks of it in terms of building muscle, but that's just, you know, one attribute of protein. Fat, of course, comes a lot from those animal products, but it can also be added. You know, any kind of even a monounsaturated fat like an olive oil is a fat, and whether it's good or bad, you know, quote unquote, as a fat, you still only can utilize a certain amount per meal per day, or it gets stored as fat. And then, of course, carbohydrates, the third macronutrient, which is perennially villainized through the low carb movement. But believe it or not, we do need carbs. They're very essential. We just have to make sure they're a good quality source, and especially the right amount per day. They have to be the right amount that helps us achieve our goals.
This is Dr. Joe Klemshevsky, who is the Diet Doc, easily the healthiest guest we've had on the program this week. And sounds like he's not out of breath because he exercises every day. And Doc, I'm going to guess that there may be three categories of people listening to this. There's someone who's probably going to, you know, see you at the gym later. There's someone who says, okay, good ideas. Let me see what I can do. Let me make my resolution. And there's someone who's saying, I just can't do it. I just can't lose weight. I don't have the metabolism. I don't like exercising, blah, blah, blah. And probably who we should talk to is that third category. You have a thought on that?
I love the way you frame that, because you're right. The people who love this kind of stuff, they're going to be fine. And it is the people who just don't necessarily feel like they have the knowledge or the will or the discipline. It's so much easier than you think once you get started, but there is a barrier to entry, which is just simply knowledge. And I like to use different metaphors like playing an instrument. You know, the first time I ever picked up a guitar and even tried to hold my fingers on the fretboard in the shape of a C chord, I mean, there was just no way. It took me 6 months to even learn how to shift from chord to chord. But once you learn that, like riding a bike, it's just second nature. And nutrition is the same. If you can spend a little time up front learning these things about, you know, what calorie level you need, how to map out a good meal plan, how to create the best macronutrient profile, then you can never be sideswiped. You can never be just taken aback, oh my gosh, how did I gain that weight? You will always make many more mindful decisions through the day, and it simply makes it easier than people think.
I was going to say to you, are you ever hungry? But I'm guessing that you probably aren't, because you're eating every couple of minutes or, you know, a few hours, right?
Well, you know, that's another great point. Hunger is a symptom of what's happening inside, especially in our blood chemistry. So when you become better at glucose disposal, or you become better at your body being able to convert body fat into energy, these are physiological processes that your body becomes more efficient at. You can become 40%, in one study, up to 40% better, more efficient at turning body fat into usable energy. And so it really does, you know, become to your advantage to just give it time, give it consistency, and you'll have these breakthroughs where all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm really not that hungry anymore. I feel great. My energy is better. And a lot of it is because you have literally changed your physiology, the biological processes in your body.
I would say, you know, in a personal thing, I'm about 70 pounds permanently less than I used to be. Now, I'm a big guy. I'm like 6'5", but my point is that your body does change after a while. And I think that what you're talking about is really training, you know, your metabolism and things like that. Hey, you mentioned fasting quickly. I think it either is or was Ramadan, and I was looking at, you know, the kids that do the fasting. But as a dietary strategy, a lot of people fast, and there's all a, you know, you've got to clean out your guts and all that. What about fasting in general or in specific?
Well, that is one of the things that we have missed in the last couple of decades in the U.S. is that we rarely let our bodies actually become empty. We're just stuffing food on top of undigested food, and that does take a toll. And that's why 70% of people are obese now, and you know we have a diabetes crisis. But to your point, there are different ways to quote fast. You can just set a certain time. That, you know, intermittent fasting is a fad right now, and classically, they want a 16-hour window. So you would eat your meals in an 8-hour window, like 11, you know, a.m. for lunch, an afternoon snack, dinner, and then don't eat again until the next day. That's not necessarily shown through research as being necessary, but to extend some of those meal times, you know, especially taking out a snack every time you're at the office and you're hungry and you just pop a little, you know, bite of candy into your mouth or something. Those are carbohydrates now turning into blood sugar, which means that's time your body will not be using body fat as energy.
Yeah.
So there are all kinds of different ways and classifications of fasting, but it's more about just meal timing and consistency and making sure you're not overfeeding yourself between those meals.
So me fasting between dinner and dessert is not right. Listen, you've given me so much to think about. I don't know that I'll be healthier than I was before we talked, but we'll give it a shot here. Dr. Joe Klemshevsky, or Zesky, I tell you what, go to his website and argue with him about how his name is pronounced. It's thedietdoc.com, thedietdoc.com. It's nice to talk to you today.
You too, Gary Lee. I really appreciate it.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes, sir.
What's your wife's story? She stay up with you on all this stuff, or?
She is incredibly healthy. So her and my children have never had to sit under my watchful eye. I don't make people do anything they don't want to do.
All right.
She's actually probably healthier than I am.
All right.
She's a little bit of a nut.
That's an image. I was hoping it wasn't like Jack Spratt and his wife, you know?
Right.
You have a great day today. Nice to meet you.
You too. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah, say I got a woman way over town, good to me. Oh yeah, she give me money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a kind of I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah, she says a loving early in the morning just for me. Oh yeah, she says a loving early in the morning just for me. Oh yeah, she says tenderly.
I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah. To love me both day and night, never grumbles or fusses, always treats me right, never running in the streets and leaving me alone. She knows a woman's place is right there now in her home. I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah. Say I got a woman over town that's good to me. Oh yeah. Oh, she's my baby. Don't you understand? Yeah, I'm a lover man. I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah. Don't you know she's all right? Don't you know she's all right? She's all right, she's all right.
Yeah, that is Ray Charles. Oh, yeah. It's 8 before the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. Thanks for getting up with us to Dr. Joe. I hope this stuff is motivational and inspirational. We can't all copy our role models, but I think we need more role models than, more than ever. So anyway, thanks to him. It's 7:30 before the hour. Coming up later this week, I think Smiley's Pirate Radio Kitchen will debut on Friday here. We'll cook some stuff up, maybe including some edibles. So that's happening. We have, Sparks and I have a thing that we call distractions of the day. This is a good one. All right, these are things that have been banned from the White House. And while you look at this stuff, and it's a history of the office. So let me, we'll bring some Aaron Copland music here. Personal cell phones. During the Trump administration, remember those people? The White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, forbade both guests and staff from having their personal phones with them in the West Wing. I don't know if that's changed with the incoming Biden administration. Aide said that the rule was for security reasons, trying to cut the number of devices connected to the White House Wi-Fi. But other insider sources said they simply wanted to limit leaks to the press. 1990, George H.W. Bush declared he wouldn't allow broccoli to be served in the White House. I remember that. Or on Air Force One, he said, I'm President of the United States and I'm not going to eat any more broccoli. Smoking. In 1993, Bill and Hillary Clinton banned smoking at White House dinners, keeping ashtrays off the tables. That would be, do you have any interest in antiques or collectibles? Let's get a White House ashtray of your, I'm sure somebody has a collection. They keep the china. Why not the ashtrays? What cameras? Cameras, until Michelle Obama announced the end of the ban in 2015, cameras were not allowed during White House tours for more than 40 years. I know that. I went on the White House tour years ago. They weren't allowed to do that. It says the flashes could what? Damage the artwork? I don't know. Tourists would stray from their groups, I think, is what they really are trying to tell you here. People used to just destroy the White House. So let's see here. Alcohol. Rutherford B. Hayes. Yes, he was president. His wife, who was, her name was Lucy, they call her Lemonade Lucy. this was not a party couple. All right, let's go over the Hayes. Let's go over the Hayes. We'll go crazy. to keep hard drinks out of the White House between 1877 and 1881 was their mission. President Hayes was the real buzzkill, though. He used the ban to win over the Republican Party's temperance advocates. It's always something, right? They were working on banning alcohol, and they're thinking. He wasn't the only president to keep the White House sober without the help of prohibition, though. Eleanor Roosevelt allowed wine, but no hard liquor in the White House during that administration. And, you know, I mean, if you weren't going to drink during World War II, when would you? And then finally, things that have been banned at the White House. Squirrels. I know. I know. I'm with you. We've had a squirrel chew through the screen about 3 feet from where I am. These little sons of... Anyway, in 1955, Dwight D. Eisenhower had a putting green installed in the White House. He was a golfer. But his clean lawn was was soon torn apart by squirrels. The next... Jeez. Remember, this guy was... He was the head of the military. He said to his valet, "The next time you see one of those squirrels go near my putting green, take a gun and shoot it." Natasha Rodriguez produced us.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. Much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.